Good afternoon, and welcome to the PLDT conference call. This conference call is being recorded. Replay information will be provided at the end of the call. At this point, I would like to turn you over to Melissa Vergel de Dios, Head of Investor Relations for PLDT, for the introductions. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss the company's financial and operating results for the full year of 2014. As mentioned in the conference call invitation, today's presentation is posted on our website. For those who have not been able to do so, you may download the presentation from www.pldt.com under the Investor Relations section. For today's presentation, we have with us members of the PLDT Group management team, namely Sir Manny Pangilinan, Chairman of the Board, Sir Paulino Sereno, President and Chief Executive Officer of both PLDT and Smart, Mr. Chris Young, Chief Financial Advisor of PLDT, Ms. Annabelle Lim Chua, SVP Treasurer of PLDT and Chief Financial Officer of Smart, and Attorney Ray Espinosa. At this point, let me turn the floor over to Mr. Nazareno for the presentation.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you, Melissa. Good afternoon. Let me share with you PLDT's financial and operating results for 2014. Our financial results for 2014 reflect the impact of the growth momentum enjoyed by our retail and corporate data and broadband businesses, the group's more aggressive response to competition in the wireless segment, as well as early efforts to evolve the PLDT Group into a converged digital communications business. Service revenues for 2014 grew by 1% year-on-year to 165.1 billion. Our fixed line business registered a 5% year-on-year increase, while our wireless business recorded a 1% dip. Consolidated EBITDA for the year was lower by 1% compared with last year. Service revenue increases were overtaken by the higher expenses, particularly those related to operating an expanded network and in response to competition. EBITDA margin remained stable at 47%. Reported net income for 2014 declined by 4% year-on-year to 34.1 billion, while core net income was lower by 3% at 37.4 billion. On the next slide, allow me now to discuss the financial results in greater detail. About a quarter of our service revenues in 2014 were from our growing data and broadband businesses, which together registered an 18% or 6.4 billion peso year-on-year. This increase absorbed the 2.3 billion decline in revenues from our legacy international voice and national long-distance businesses, which amounted to 15% of 2014 service revenues. About 60% of our service revenues are from our voice and SMS businesses, which we believe are maturing. Our cellular voice and domestic fixed line voice businesses registered modest increases of 3% and 2% respectively, partly cushioning the 11% or 5.2 billion decline in our SMS and VAS revenues. EBITDA margin for 2014 remained stable at 47%. On the next slide, we are pleased to report that today the Board of Directors declared dividends of 87 pesos per share, consisting of a final regular dividend of 61 pesos and a special dividend of 26 pesos. Together with the 69 peso interim dividend, total dividends for 2014 amount to 156 pesos per share, or a 90% payout of 2014 core earnings. This takes into account the anticipated higher capex to support our growing data business, the investment in Rocket Internet, and our plans to complement the traditional access business with investments in new adjacent businesses that will provide future sources of profits and dividends. At the closing share price of 2,906 pesos at the end of 2014, PLDT's dividend yield remains attractive at 5.4% and 5.6% based on yesterday's closing share price of 3,100 pesos per share. On the next slide, let me now discuss highlights of the various businesses, starting with the fixed line. This segment posted a 6% or 3.4 billion peso year-on-year rise in service revenues. 86% of fixed line service revenues registered year-on-year improvements. The bulk of the increase was from data and broadband, which grew by 3 billion from 2013 and which amounted to 53% of total service revenues. Fixed line EBITDA rose by 15% or 3.3 billion as service revenue increases and lower provisions fully offset higher cash operating expenses. EBITDA margin of 39% for 2014 was an improvement over the 36% for 2013. At the end of 2014, PLDT had over 2.2 million fixed line subscribers. On the next slide, data and broadband growth remained strong in 2014 as revenues climbed by 5.3 billion or 20% year-on-year and now represent 19% of total service revenues. The PLDT Group's broadband service broadband subscriber base crossed the 4 million mark, registering a 19% rise or over 659,000 net adds from the end of 2013. Fixed broadband revenues grew by 13% to 13.9 billion, following a 13% increase in subscribers to 1.1 million, while wireless broadband revenues improved by 6% to 9.9 billion pesos. Mobile internet continued to record the strongest growth, with revenues up by 63% year-on-year at 8.1 billion, and smartphone ownership among our subscriber base grew to nearly 30% with usage higher by 167% from 2013. Wireless service revenues for 2014 dipped by 1% or 1.6 billion year-on-year to 115 billion as increases in wireless broadband and mobile internet as well as domestic voice revenues were overtaken by declines in inbound international and SMS revenues. Thank you. Our postpaid subscriber base at the end of 2014 grew to over 2.7 million, which generated postpaid revenues representing 21% of total cellular revenues or 21.7 billion. The 2.6 billion peso improvement in postpaid revenues over 2013 fully absorbed the 300 million peso rise in subsidies. Prepaid revenues declined by 5.5 billion or 6% to 79.1 billion as a result of price competition as well as our more aggressive response to defend market share in the second half of 2014. Wireless EBITDA for 2014 was lower by 3.8 billion or 7%, an EBITDA margin of 44%, reflecting the pressure on revenues as well as the impact of the change in the wireless revenue mix and the greater proportion of postpaid revenues to total revenues. Encouragingly, the margin for the second half of 2014 of 44% was stable versus the first half of 2014. On the next slide, moving on to the balance sheet, net debt at the end of 2014 rose to $2.3 billion, with net debt to EBITDA of 1.34 times, which reflects PLDT's investment in Rocket Internet. The full year effect of the higher debt level will manifest in 2015. 47% of gross debt is denominated in US dollars. Taking into account our US dollar cash holdings and hedges, only about $1 billion or 34% of our total debt is unhedged. Our dollar-linked revenues, which amount to $700 million US dollars, or about 20% of our 2014 service revenues, provide a natural hedge. Post-interest rate swaps, 78% of our debt are fixed-rate loans. PLDT's debt profile remains healthy, with maturities well spread out. Over 50% of total debt is due to mature beyond 2018. PLDT's credit ratings with Fitch, Moody's, and Standard & Poor's remain at investment grade. On the next slide, free cash flow 2014 was lower at $27.7 billion, mainly due to the higher capex and income taxes paid. In anticipation of the expected rise in data traffic as a result of greater smartphone ownership and our initiatives to stimulate usage, PLDT has decided to increase its investment in capital expenditures in order to provide more than sufficient network capacity, greater coverage, and better quality of service. CapEx for 2014 amounted to $34.8 billion, or 21% of service revenues. This covered, among others, the expansion of our 3G and 4G networks, the extension of our fiber footprint to 98,000 kilometers, the modernization of and fortification of the fixed line network, as well as projects to improve network efficiency. CapEx is anticipated to remain elevated in 2015 at $39 billion as we continue to expand the PLDT network to support the growing requirements of our customer base. On the next slide, as part of our plan to reshape PLDT from a telco access business to a converged digital communications one, we have expanded our existing pillars of growth, namely individual, home, enterprise, and multimedia, to now include digital. Let me highlight some of our initiatives in these spaces. Under the individual segment, our focus is on growing our mobile data business through our digital inclusion campaign, Internet for All. We recognize that access to the Internet is changing consumer behavior and lifestyles, including how people are turning to the Internet for communication, information, entertainment, and even shopping for goods and services. We also recognize that a big number of our subscribers may still be hesitant to access data using their smartphones because they are worried of the cost. Thus, we are designing our efforts to address this concern. We have made available low-denomination data and load bundles that even the low-end market can afford. A free internet promo, which we launched in September last year, is one way to help our subscribers appreciate the always-on data experience on their smartphones and effectively stimulate data usage. Notwithstanding the promo, mobile internet revenues in the fourth quarter of 2014 remained stable. The successful promo has generated a significant number of new data users for us and higher top-ups and ARPUs for those who avail the free internet. More usage-stimulating initiatives will be announced in the coming months. On the next slide, our home segment provides a compelling suite of digital services ranging from communication, entertainment, and home monitoring, all running on a formidable integrated network and with the end goal of delivering to the customer a connected home. Our home broadband plans are available at different price points depending on speed or volume. Complementing these plans are a variety of value-added services such as device bundles and home monitoring services, further making possible a connected home. For PLDT, there are opportunities to build above. Finally, access to content such as music, games, movies, sports, and the like are made available to further enhance the customer experience and home's value proposition. As a result of all these, our home segment continues to push ahead in expanding its footprint and presence in homes nationwide. Next slide. In the enterprise segment, the PLDT Group continues to have most extensive presence in Philippine business. Our wide range of enterprise solutions and telco services, backed by the unparalleled breadth of the PLDT Group network, have made the PLDT the preferred provider to corporates, SMEs, and the BPO industry. Our data center business is a new source of growth for the group, with our rack capacity being the largest in the Philippines. With the outlook of the Philippine economy remaining robust, we believe that the growth momentum in the enterprise segment will carry through 2015. On the next slide, in line with transforming the company into a multimedia services organization, we have several initiatives integrating various forms of content into our products and services service offerings. For example, we recently announced a multi-year, multi-platform partnership with the Walt Disney Company Southeast Asia through its digital arm, Disney Interactive. Subscribers of Smart and PLDT Home Telepath will be able to access the growing portfolio of Disney's online games and e-books using their smartphones, tablets, laptops, and computers. On the pay TV business, Signal TV now leads the industry with over 844,000 subscribers at the end of 2014, surpassing the 20-year incumbent. This slide is a snapshot of our digital unit, which is structured along the innovation cycle. The setup is similar to a Silicon Valley or rocket internet factory, where ideas are translated to prototypes and proofs of concept. Then, if successful, eventually spun off. Two of our subsidiaries, Voyager and Smart eMoney, are at the forefront of these initiatives. We are also prepared to partner with other entities, such as we have done with Rocket Internet. On the next slide, one area in the digital space which we believe has extensive potential is in big data. The data pond from our combined subscriber base of over 76 million is a rich source of insights that can be used to connect businesses and consumers and ultimately influence transactions. We will share more of our efforts in this space in the coming months. Let me now give you an update regarding our investment in Rocket Internet. Based on Rocket's closing share price on 2nd of March 2015 of 51.12 euros per share, its market cap is 8.4 billion euros, of which our 6.1% share is worth 515 million euros. This is a 55% increase over our original investment of 333 million euros infused in August of 2014. We recently announced agreements with Rocket, and there are more of joint initiatives in the pipeline which we expect to announce in the coming months. We are very excited about these as we see how a local vertical has potential to be a global horizontal business. And now let me turn over the floor to our chairman, Mr. Manny Pangilinan, for the highlights of the group guidance for 2015.
Thank you. Thank you, Paulie. Good afternoon to all of you. In terms of the numbers for 2015, we're guiding core net income to the level of 25 billion pesos, about 6% lower, 2.4 billion pesos lower than core of 2014, and CAPEX at 39 billion, up by about 4.2 billion from the CAPEX spend last year. The lower guided profit for 2015 is accounted for mainly by patient of continued competitive pressure. OTT players making a dent on PLP and Smart, principal and texting, and international long distance, and the CAPEX represents accelerated 3G, 4G rollout, which Paulie tried to earlier, which translates to higher depreciation costs and higher financing expenses. In terms of dividends, we maintain our policy of 75% payout on core for regular dividends, and we look back for any special dividends towards it.
We're now ready to take your questions. We'll first take questions from those who joined us through the conference facility before we take questions from the floor. Operator.
Thank you. The floor is now open for your questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 slowly on your telephone keypad. Should you wish to cancel your question, you may press star 2 key. Our first question comes from Luis Helado. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the call. I had three questions. Apologies, but the first one is sort of housekeeping, but was there a restatement of prior quarters operating expenses and such? Because when we tried to look at the implied fourth quarter, we were coming up with quite big swings in terms of compensation and benefits, as well as professional and other contracted services, and quite a number of lines are up or down substantially. Just wondering if there's any restatement there, and if not, if you could give us some color on why there are these big swings. Second question is regarding the lower special dividend for this year. In the past, you've mentioned that the threshold you have for net debt to EBITDA is about 2x maximum. Just wondering if this lower special is indicative that the investments, aside from CapEx, but the investments you'll make in the next few quarters or longer than that will put you close to the 2x net debt to EBITDA. And last question is a bit of housekeeping as well. The effective tax rate in the quarter seems to be around 17%. Any color for that, and whether 2015, this year we're going to see a lower effective tax rate as well?
I don't know. Is this on?
Yeah. Yes.
So I'll try all three. On the effective tax rate, I think it changes Q to Q. So I think in terms of the core, we are still guiding for about 27-28% you're looking forward to 2015 and beyond. So that's the way it comes in the quarters. In terms of the net debt to EBITDA, we are currently forecasting that it will go above the 1.5 times. But I think what we are projecting is that we'd be going to actually something close to about 1.7, 1.75 by the end of 2015, probably staying around about that level for 2016. And then thereafter, as we see some pickup in both the revenue, the EBITDA level, plus CapEx coming off a bit from that $39 billion level, come down to somewhat below that as we go into 2017. The main adjustments that you see in the fourth quarter relate somewhat unfortunately to our variable pay, because obviously given the results as a whole, these were being accrued in the financial statements up to the end of the third quarter, but obviously the results came in lower than originally expected at the beginning of the year. So there were some reversals in the fourth quarter, which I think have affected the Q-on-Q analysis.
I think it's, but there seems to be like other items, like asset impairment seems to be quite substantial in the quarter, and taxes and licenses seem to be up almost 300%.
I think we've also taken some impairment on. Yeah, I think part of the CapEx plan going into 2015-16 is a fairly robust build out on the LTE network, so that will have an impact on both our existing fixed wireless Canopy and WiMAX network. So there is an impairment included in the numbers for Q4 for the WiMAX and the Canopy. Again, on the taxes and licenses, they do change Q on Q because generally there's an element of negotiating and settling these as we go along. So again, these don't necessarily fall comfortably in and evenly, on a Q-on-Q basis.
Great. So we should take the annual number, I guess, as sort of the guideline for this 2015.
I think that's the best way to do it if you're looking forward to 2015-16.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Princy Singh. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my question. This is Princy from JP Morgan. I had a couple of questions. First is on the CapEx guidance for 2015. Could you give us some indication how much of it is for your fixed line and how much of it would be to enhance capacity on the wireless network? Second question is on your data strategy. Clearly, very sharp growth in mobile data. I just want to understand if you had not launched the free internet campaign, how much would this growth would have been lower by? And just from a medium-term perspective, what kind of growth rates on usage are you expecting over the next 2 to 3 years? Are there any adoption or data usage targets that you have internally put in place that can be shared? And how do we think about CapEx trends directionally over the next 3 years on the back of this?
What we can say on the free internet offer is that on the frequent users of the free internet in the past, this is from August to December of last year, there was a over 30% increase in frequent users on the free internet. And what we have experienced within these free internet users, an increased ARPU occurred. So we consider the experience quite positive, plus the fact that our mobile internet revenues have remained the same. The growth rate overall for the year has been 63%, and been really affected or negatively affected by the free internet.
Yes, I think, Prince, on the CapEx, it splits approximately one-third to the fixed, two-thirds to the wireless business. Now, having said that, I think as we've discussed before, within the fixed line business, there is also the DPON or the backhaul facilities of the group. So that's included in with the one-third on the fixed line. On the wireless, about 50% of the figure of that two-thirds really is for increased coverage and improvements of quality of service on the 3G and LTE network. The balance really is for various support systems for the wireless network. In terms of the level, I think we're looking at about 23% of revenues in 2015, which translates to a little over 39 billion, and we're looking at a similar level in 2016, with it coming off a little bit in terms of percentage of revenue as we go into 2017. In terms of the traffic growth, if I recall the number, I think we're looking at about 75 to 80% growth in total usage in the network in 2015, 16, 17, each year as we see more, particularly wireless data consumers.
Understood. That's very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nirajan Natarajan. Your line is now open.
Hi guys, thanks very much for the opportunity. Just in terms of costs, this variable cost you said you reversed, so is there further room for, just on a year-over-year basis also the compensation has gone down quite strongly this year. So is this an area that you will be cutting back going into next year, because it does sound like a bit of a challenging outlook? That's the first question. Secondly, operationally, on the prepaid side, I still see very strong subscriber additions at Globe, which somehow did not, I expected the free internet offer should see pick up in net adds for PLDT. And on the postpaid side, the churn still seems to be quite high. This is more on the smart side. Can you give any color around this, please?
Yeah, I can try on the first one on the expenses side. I think the objective as we look at 2015-16, again, is that to keep the cash OPEX increase to probably no more than about 1 to 2%. Now, how that actually factors in across the various expense categories, it's difficult to say, but obviously one of the areas that we think we can manage that is on the compensation line. So I think there is quite a number of initiatives across both fixed and wireless group at the moment that would allow us to manage the number within that range. But there is a full review of all aspects of the cash OPEX. Across the network side, there's again a number of initiatives there that we're looking at which could help us stay, maintain the cash OPEX in that maybe 2% range. You've seen that the EBITDA margin is relatively stable in 2014 compared to 2013. We think it'll come off a little bit in 2015, but it will... maybe we try to limit that to no more than 1%.
I had another question on just the operational trends.
Oh, well, with regard to your question on prepaid subscribers, what happened was that on the launch of the free Facebook of the other of our competitor, there was a switching, or there was a moving from our subscribers to theirs in terms of double simming, because our subscribers remained intact, but there was the frequency of top-ups actually reduced. And so therefore, to counter that, we launched the free internet, and it seems that in the fourth quarter this has been reduced considerably, and therefore that is the reason why there is an increase, but on our prepaid subscriber base, it remains stable. On top of that, we have also done a cleanup in our base on both on Talk and Text and on Sun. And so that's why the subscriber base has not gone up. In terms of organic increase, we have had net additions, but this was offset by the cleanup of the base.
Okay. Okay, sorry, so just, I mean, just to follow up, right? I mean, given that, I mean, you did have the free internet offer, and maybe you may have some more offers coming in where the subscriber may stay on, but the ARPU won't, may not increase, I don't know, but how do we sort of measure, I mean, the fact that you may, your market share defense is sort of improving with some of these initiatives that you've taken?
If you look at the fourth quarter, you are seeing that the market share have sort of stabilized on the legacy services, which is SMS and voice, on the mobile side, and that is one indication that the steps we are taking are in the right direction.
Got it. And sorry, I just had one more question on the postpaid churn, which still seems to be on the higher side. This is only for the Smart postpaid numbers. And the net add run rate is also seems to be, in general, lagging. So do you, is there room for this to pick up further?
Niraja, I think in terms of the postpaid churn, nothing really unusual particular to the fourth quarter, but it's, I think, a general trend where as we increase the postpaid subscriber numbers over time, you are going into, I guess, lower into the market. So there is an anticipation that churn could potentially be higher as you sort of try to expand your postpaid base.
Okay, got it. No, just because if I mean, if I see like your, it's because of the higher churn number, right? I mean, it just seems like the stickiness of your postpaid base is not sort of increasing. But then if you're doing a lot more handset bundling than in the past and it's a lot of high-end handsets, shouldn't we start to see this go down? I mean, even though the base is higher, I agree, but
probably we can take it offline because our numbers are showing relatively the same churn rate, Q on Q, but we can probably take it offline.
Okay, sure, no worries. Yeah, all right, thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Chait Ben. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. I have four questions in total. The first thing is regarding your initiatives to protect the market share. As you say, we have seen some stabilization. Do you think what you have done so far is quite enough already and that the competition should remain at this level? Or you think that there are some areas and things that you would like to improve in, perhaps like trying to gain back some market share or make sure that it stabilizes at this level? The second question is regarding your payout, 90% payout for this year. Should we use that as a basic guidance for the payout into FY15-16 as you continue to invest in your business? The third question is regarding your investment in the so-called adjacent business. We have seen some of this effort in your, for example, Rocket Internet investment and some other JVs. What do you actually have set any kind of budget aside for the investment that we could see over the next few years? If you can give us some figure, that would be very nice. And the last thing is, among all the digital areas that you mentioned, what is the area that you see the strongest potential for the Philippines that you would focus on? Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the market share, the indication for the fourth quarter seems to be that we are taking the steps in the right direction. As you know, the initiatives are never enough. So what there will be more initiatives from our part moving forward.
On the payout ratio, we basically maintain the same approach that that we have for many years now, that there is a basic recurring committed dividend of 75%, and we are retaining that going into 2015-16. On the special dividend, again, that's anything between 0 and 25%. This year, or in respect of 2014, it was 15%. We really just have to calibrate it. I think, given the capex level that we're looking at in 2015, 2016, I think we could pay some special dividend. But I think we really need to get to towards the end of 2015, the early part of 2016, before we can give a clearer indication of what level that will settle up. New businesses. I think in terms of the new businesses, the target is, I think we've given a target out to about 2000, which is a long way out, 2020, that they would contribute about 10% of the revenues of the group. I think it's likely that these businesses, the EBITDA margin would be somewhat below that of the more traditional businesses. But in terms of revenue, I think the target is about 10%. Of the most promising.
The most promising part of the business we can see at the moment one really is the NIPAY, which we are which is part of the JV with Rocket Internet, which would make the Philippines as a first market to launch it. It's a online payment platform that is geared for the unbanked, the uncarded, and the unconnected. So it is really targeting the emerging markets, because as you know, in our part of the world, the 80% of the population is unbanked. And that is the reason why our platform would serve as a solution to e-commerce companies in the internet for online payments, in order to avoid the cash of delivery type of transaction, which would result to a bit of rejection rates upon delivery of the goods. The other is an organic development of Voyager, which is called Luck by Mobile. It is a capability by which we are able to linking with the bank. It's an added security where your account or your credit card can be locked or unlocked, auto-locked, or you can even lock by amount or by the extension card, maybe of your wife. You can lock it if you want, and unlock it if you don't, as you please. Today we have already 4 or 5 banks that have signed up with us, and it is basically a B2B business. we are being paid an annual fee for the Lakbai Mobile, and we intend to explore exporting this to other markets from here on. Already there are some interest coming from our digital guys came from the U.S. recently and has signed up with Visa, who has been keen on this particular development, and also a few banks in the U.K. They have had initial exploratory meetings in London a few weeks ago. So these are the two main potential that we see. There are others in the pipeline, but perhaps we can discuss that later.
That is excellent. I just have two follow-up questions, if I may. And the first question is regarding your, again, the investment in the so-called adjacent business. Appreciate the 10% revenue contribution by 2020. But what kind of investment budget are you setting aside for this? For example, in the case of Singtel, the announced budget is like $2 billion over 3 years. Do you have any kind of that budget set aside? And the second thing is regarding your guidance for a 6% decline in FY15 earnings. If you can share with us a little bit more on what kind of service revenue growth or EBITDA growth could be driving that, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
I think these are two new questions, not follow-up questions, Jay. I think in terms of the guidance, broadly what we're looking at is overall revenue growth, probably low single digit, and then reasonably flat. If we can manage the cash OPEX, broadly as I indicated earlier, that we would maintain the EBITDA reasonably flat year on year. I think what will impact us more in 2015 is that with a CapEx level somewhat elevated in 2014 and continuing to 2015, we will be incurring a somewhat higher depreciation charge. Secondly, again, it was referred to earlier, the debt level will be a bit higher as we go into 2015. So the interest charge will also be a bit higher going through the P&L in that year. So I think we're broadly looking at low single-digit growth in revenues. We are trying to manage the cash OPEX reflecting that, to come out with a relatively flat EBITDA number. And then by the time you get to the bottom line, because of the higher interest charge and depreciation, there'll be a bit of a decrease year on year. Obviously, I think as Manny indicated in his guidance and some of the other comments earlier, we would have hoped to see that improve as we go into 2016-2017. In the adjacent businesses, I think we don't have the ambitions of Singtel with the $2 billion. I think what we're looking at as we invest in adjacent businesses is that the investments would be something in the region of maybe $10 to $20 million at a time, and maybe 3 to 4 of them in any one year. But it has to be an adjacency. It has to be something that assists us either in the wireless or the fixed or the content side of the business. If there is some upside from investing in the business, that's fine. But it really has to be something which is not, it's not a standalone. It's something that works with the existing businesses. So that level of business and maybe at that level of investment and maybe 2 to 3, 3 to 4 of them in any one year.
That is very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Arthur Pineda. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Three questions for me. First, it is mentioned that 10% of revenue should be coming from digital services over 5 years. I'm wondering what the bottom line implications are, since that when we look at those in the region involved in digital services, typically it starts up as loss-making. Is there any glide path that we should look at for this, let's say with your mobile payment solutions, for instance? Second question I had is with regard to your cash OPEX. You've mentioned a 1% to 2% target increase. Which area should we look at outside of maybe employee compensation that can be addressed meaningfully into 2015? Last question I had is with regard to your promotions. You also mentioned that there will be new usage-stimulating activities to be launched in the second half, well within this year. Will subscribers be charged on these new promotions, or is it still aimed towards getting people to adopt data initially and raise market share with the view of eventual monetization, or is it upfront monetization now? Thank you.
Let me answer the third question. The key really is to unlock the data potential on the prepaid environment, and we will continue to explore all kinds of initiatives to be able to do that. But slowly we will be moving towards being able to charge on the basis of volumes, but looking at how we can sachet consumer experience so that as the lower end of the pyramid experience the internet, they would also be able to experience always on. So, and then we can maybe at that point monetize data. But it's a continuing experiment on our part.
On the contribution from the digital businesses, we would expect, as I say, that the margins there are somewhat lower than the other businesses in the group, but it should begin to make a meaningful contribution. Yes, there will be some startup losses, but the businesses which are currently in there, which Polly described, such as MePay, actually are already profitable. So they do have the ability to absorb some startup losses elsewhere. So we are not anticipating that as we go from relatively small contribution to 10% contribution, that there would be a major drag from startup losses. We are anticipating that these businesses will be, most of them can get to profitability relatively quickly and begin to contribute. On the cash OPEX, other than the compensation, which I mentioned earlier, the other focus really is on what we group together in the analysis as network maintenance costs. As you know, when we acquired the Digital and Sun business, initially a lot of the effort was in putting the fixed line businesses together and rationalizing that. So that is completely done. On the wireless side, we have gone part of the way there to achieve that network rationalization. However, due to some operational matters, that full integration will not actually happen until we get into the latter part of this year and actually more into 2016. But there are opportunities as a result of that for us to manage that maintenance cost increase to a relatively low level.
Thank you. Sorry, if I can just have one follow-up question. Actually, it could be a different question altogether. With regard to the 90% payout that you've had this year, obviously this year has been under pressure since you've acquired a significant stake in Rocket Internet. But assuming there's no major acquisition going forward, are we bound to, is there room for this to go back up to 100%, for instance?
I think what we've said, Arthur, is that we will stick to that commitment of 75%, which is actually is already quite high. But I think what we're looking at in terms of the financial dynamics is that the CapEx to get that coverage and quality of service on the network side is going to be fairly elevated in 2015-16. There may be an opportunity to see that settle at a lower level as we go into 2017-18. At that stage, maybe we could look to that going somewhat higher. I think with the CapEx that we are seeing for 2015-16, it's difficult to envisage it going back up to that 100% level. Maybe if you went beyond that, there would be an opportunity to discuss that.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one, and kindly record your name when prompted. Our next question comes from Rama Marubada. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions from me, please. Firstly, with regards to the SR impairment charges that you booked in the fourth quarter, could you provide a bit more color on what this pertains to? And the second one is the broader question on your wireless market share. Just wondering whether you're comfortable with your current market position or do you intend to have more promotions in the ensuing quarters to realign the market share? Thank you.
The asset impairment we booked in the fourth quarter relates to the six assets that we have carried with respect to our Canopy and YMAC asset base, which you appreciate. Particularly Canopy has kind of reached end of life, and we, as we build TDLTE, we have been actively migrating our subscribers from this particular technologies to the new TDLTE offering. So given that the subscribers are decreasing and there's a plan to actively migrate, that there was the asset impairment was booked in the fourth quarter of 2014.
What we're looking at in the first instance right now is to stabilize the market share on the legacy services, very aggressively grow broadband data on corporate and corporate data and SMEs and ICT and data centers, and of course try to grow and develop our new pillars, which is the multimedia and the digital pillars. And that's what we will be focusing on.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nirja Natarajan. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. I just had one follow-up. In the last quarter call, you specifically highlighted that, you know, your competitor was unbundling sort of SMS promos. I just want to understand if your response has sort of seen this reduced. And, I mean, going ahead, is there more opportunity to, on the prepaid side, for bundled offerings to come up? And should we see the usage decline on SMS bottoming out a bit going into next year or not really? Thank you.
I think let me just comment on the SMS. If you look at the fourth quarter, I think the reduction in the SMS we noticed has been reduced in absolute numbers and also in the percentage decline. And we are hoping that this will continue moving forward. Based on the initiatives that we have taken in the fourth quarter. Now, moving forward, of course, we are having a pipeline of promos that we will unfold, but this will essentially be data-centric type of promos.
that would stimulate the usage of data and unlock the prepaid potential of data.
And one more question, if I may. Under the Philippines Internet Group that you formed with Rocket, is this going to be the arm under which you're going to acquire, or is this where all the payments and all the other JVs, the collaborative JV, falls under?
No, that is just one co-investment with Rocket. The MePay co-investment is held separately from Philippine Internet Holdings. Should we do other things with them, on the payment side, it's likely to be under the MePay structure. We are looking at some initiatives with them outside the Philippines, so there could also be a third vehicle that we invest in the non-payment side.
All right, and so under the Philippine Internet Holding, what are the sort of opportunities you're looking at?
They have several businesses already active here. One, Carmudi, which is in vehicle sales, Lamudi, which is in property, and a number of other startup businesses here. So these are businesses which Rocket already operate in other countries and are starting up yet. Though actually in the case of Carmudi and Lamudi, I think both of them have been operating for about 18 months or so. But there's a range of startup businesses but that are Rocket businesses that are operating in other countries which they wish to operate also in the Philippines.
Okay, got it. All right, thanks very much.
Thank you. As of the moment, we don't have any questions in queue. I'll hand the call back to you.
There are none. Any more on the call? Otherwise, you can read the replay information.
Okay, thank you. As of the moment, we don't have any questions in queue. And right now, I would like to give everyone the instant replay information for today's conference. This conference will be available on a 24-hour instant replay starting today daily on through March 17, 2015. The replay information for the 3 p.m. call, the international caller number is country code 852-3018-4397. The U.S. toll-free number is 1-866-845-9394. The UK toll-free number is 0800-376-3203. The Singapore toll-free number is 800-120-5663. The Japan toll-free number is 00531-122226. The Australia toll number is country code 612-8030-3097. The passcode for this is 7748, and conference leader is Melissa Verhel de Dios. Now, I'll turn the conference back to PLDT for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
And thank you to everyone for joining us for today's briefing.
Thank you. And that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your line in your own time.